In a couple of minutes, you'll find why the first word in the title is not participating, but partaking. There's a reason for this. And I wanted to look up kind of a word in the dictionary. It's very similar to participating, but it is having a portion of something along with other people. So a partaker is someone who's participating, experiencing, but along with others. That is why in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said, I am your fellow partaker in suffering, in the kingdom, and endurance. But they're very closely related, because we're emphasizing with the participation, we're participating in God's life. But at the same time, we are partaking of God's nature. And we'll see as we emphasize certain key points in the outline that life and nature are inseparable, but there is some distinction. And, you know, one illustration like this, it's something very human, but this was actually our family life for a period of time. I won't tell you too much about the source, but inside the house, we had at least big not just bottles, but big factors filled with water with all kinds of fish. And then in the backyard, there were bunny rabbits with ears like this and ears like this. And every few weeks, there were more of them. And then there were three dogs. And here's the comment about the dogs. Two of them were sheepdogs. They're quite big, and they have a lot of their hair, whatever you want to call it, just covering their face. And actually, at the house, I have this little photograph of one of these sheepdogs with the fuzzy part hanging, covering their face. And then there's a verse from Romans that says, I long to see you. And anyway, so we had these two kind of dogs and one miniature poodle. And whenever someone was coming to the front door, they would all go there as a little group. But it was interesting to watch the little poodle and the sheepdogs. So the sheepdogs come to the door with big tail and deep, you know, growling sound, barking like this, barking. And then the little dog wants to be the same. But instead of a long tail, it's got a little stub like this. So they're going, bark, bark. She's trying to be the same, but bark, bark. They both had dog life, but they had a different nature that has certain different elements, different characteristics, different constituents. And so when we speak of God's life, we're talking about his being itself. When we speak of the nature of God, we're speaking of certain elements or characteristics that are just part of his being. He's righteous, he's holy, he's kind, he's merciful, he's loving, he's the authoritarian, whatever it is. And so now we want to consider what it means to participate in God's nature. And again, I had the feeling, actually, a feeling based upon the Lord's leading to open this from some other key verses, just as we did in message one. And I believe this was from the Lord, that we realize we're drinking the water of life. It becomes a fountain of life springing up in us. And the Lord wants us to participate in this. But in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter, toward the very end of his journey on the earth, and he knew from the Lord's word to him in John chapter 21 that when he was young, he could go wherever he wanted to go. But when he was older, referring to when he's mature, someone will carry you away where you may not want to go. And that was indicating that he will be put to death. He won't die a natural death. And now when he knew this was coming, very similar to Paul writing 2 Timothy, he knew he was at the end of his journey, and he had his final word to his spiritual child. And so here, I'll read some verses concerning nature, and then I want to just quickly walk with you for a series of verses, because I believe once you are enlightened on these verses, you will be motivated, in addition to the way you are already motivated of wanting to be ready for the Lord's coming, that you want to be among those that are the corporate bride. You want to be mature in life. You want to be rapture ready. And in addition to that, based upon the truth that we know, the kingdom truth, you know that there's another age, 1,000 years long. And not all the believers are going to be there, although they've been born of God and they're in the kingdom of God. But there's a portion within the kingdom of God called the kingdom of the heavens. And for the 1,000 years when the Lord is reigning on the earth, there will be a particular number of brothers and sisters that will be co-kings with him because they have grown in life, but we'll see they have really experienced and been constituted with God's nature. It's just like when your children were growing up. It's not simply that the human life is growing and now the boy is becoming a young man. He has the body of a man, and same thing with your daughter. There are characteristics of a mature woman. There are characteristics of a mature male. And so it's the same thing here, that to grow in life, to enjoy this, to experience this in and of itself, it's not sufficient, because life and nature of a living being are inseparable, although they are somewhat different, as I previously mentioned. And the degree to which our partaking of God's nature and experiencing the developing of this nature in us, in our own being and in our living, that will determine whether or not we will be invited into the coming kingdom as a co-king, or whether we will need that one day, from God's point of view, one day. But I don't want to be participating in that kind of one day, 1,000 years. And so I find it quite touching that someone like Peter was a fisherman, but the Lord used him to present something quite deep and quite profound. And I would just make a comment. There may be someone who's, maybe never went to a university. Maybe a situation was, he didn't even finish high school. But don't minimize the God-created capacity in this person. Some of them are really smart, and they're quite capable. And so Peter is like this, and so he had to write this epistle. And I'll read verses 3 and 4 to bring to some clarity what we mean by nature. And then we'll go quickly through some other verses to show the development of this nature, leading to the key point. And you'll find out what it is, the key point, the sign of full maturity. And once you reach that point, this will be the open door for you to be in the kingdom of the heavens on the earth. So this is verse 3. Seeing that his, that is God, divine power, has granted to us all things which relate to life and godliness through the full knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and virtue, through which he has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature. So this is the goal, to be partakers of the divine nature. And the slight difference between partaking and participating is this partaking involves a corporate sharing of something significant. And also, you know, participating in God's life, that's personal and corporate. But we saw, and properly so, that the emphasis was on the personal side in the context of the corporate body of Christ. But partaking involves something corporate. We're not doing it alone. That's why, to repeat, referring to Apostle John's word in Revelation, I am your fellow partaker in suffering, in the kingdom, in endurance. I'm not special. I'm in this with you. I'm an old man. I'm on the island of Patmos. You are in your situation. I'm sending this to all the churches as the Lord instructed me. I am your fellow partaker. And this is quite touching to realize. You're not alone. You're a fellow partaker. And so this involves God's nature and our nature as children of God with some of the aspects that I mentioned. You know, he's holy, he's righteous, etc. Now I want to point out from verses 5 through 11. This requires not just one message, it would be a whole conference on the development of the divine nature in us. But we don't need that for what the Lord is wanting to release this afternoon. But there are two crucial points. One is the developing of the divine nature in us, various stages. And then the outcome of this developing with respect to the kingdom of God. So mainly I'll just read it, but when we come to the highest point, then I'll emphasize that. And right away, I know right away, you will take it in and you will realize that this is the goal. And for this very reason, also adding all diligence, supply bountifully in your faith virtue, and in virtue knowledge, and in knowledge self-control, and in self-control endurance, and in endurance godliness, and in godliness brotherly love, and in brotherly love love. And the Greek word for brotherly love is referring to is just love in the family, phileo. But in brotherly love, becoming love itself, that's the highest word. So this is the key point of the development of God's nature in us and the highest point of the growth of maturity of life in us, that is agape love itself. And in this manner, you are now the same as God in this attribute, this aspect of his nature. So now you're at the key point. And then now there's a turn in Peter's writing. He says, for these things existing in you and abounding constitute you neither idle nor unfruitful unto the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he in whom these things are not present is blind, being short-sighted, having forgotten the cleaning of his past sins. Therefore, brothers, be the more diligent to make your calling and selection firm. For doing these things, you shall by no means ever stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly and bountifully supplied to you. There will be an entrance. And the entrance is the development of God's life and nature in you to maturity. And as I emphasized, the indicator of this is love itself. You just cannot be otherwise. And you're not doing something like this is a commandment. I have to love one another. The Lord said, love one another as I do. Okay. It's just your being. You simply love God according to 1 John 4:19. We love because God first loved us. And recently, even with different age groups, the most recent time was with the Children's Summer School of Truth. And they were, what, 12 to 17 or 18? And this is what I shared to them, and the burden is coming out afresh again, about God's love. Well, we all know John 3:16. God so loved the world, and there the world means all the human beings, that he gave his son. Well, there are 8 billion plus human beings on the earth. I'm one of them. So I guess he must love me. You know, I'm part of the crowd. Okay. It's not a bad place to start. Then we go to where? We go to Ephesians chapter 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself up, that is, died for her. And then we can say, well, I'm in the church. And so therefore, he loves the church, he died for her, so he must love me. And that's delightful. But I'm so glad the Lord took the greatest sinner who was breathing out murder when he was on his way to another city to arrest and bring to judgment anyone calling on the name of the Lord, male and female. And as many times he voted for their death. And we all know he was chosen by God. The Lord appealed to him. And then he told us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, that I was the greatest sinner of all. But he made me a pattern to all those who will believe. And I wondered about that. I'm so thankful about that, because our God is very wise, and he knows at least some of us, and he knows, I've thought this way, I would say, okay, I realize you are God, you have these requirements, but Lord, just be a little fair. You came and you were sinless and you were faithful to the end, but look, there was no sin in you, there was no death in you, and how can someone like me do the same thing that you're doing? Because look at my nature, all of us. And so in his wisdom, God said, okay, I'll take this greatest sinner and then work on him to such a degree that he will be a God-man in which I'm living again. And so what I did in him, I can do in you. So now back to the next verse, a familiar verse. Well, I'll quote the whole verse, but the important point is at the end. I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And so I no longer live, he lives in me, but the life which I now live, now I'm living. I'm living according to his living in me. Now it is I who live. And then he went on to say, because he loved me and gave himself up for me. And this is what is in my heart again. And the Lord knows. He knows the heart of each one of us. He knows our need, that each one of us can realize Christ died for me. That's what he said. Christ died for me because he loved for me. And I don't know how your mind is operating with this, but let me bring to your attention, this was the God-man dying on the cross for our redemption and for the releasing of the divine life. And so on the human side, he fully was in the position where he could die in our place. But on the divine side, he's God, and that means he's omniscient. He knows everything. So he knew all of us personally. And our name was in him, not only corporately, but personally. He knew when he was on the cross, Ron Kangas, I'm dying for him. I'm dying in his place because I love him. This is a very touching pattern. He loved me and gave himself up for me. And when it began to, in my own learning, in recent years, to be honest, to realize, because the Lord knew, Ron, this, for some reason, you're on a long journey here to realize that I love you, because he knew what took place when I was 19. He knew what touched in a destructive way the very depths of my being. And then I realized, not just in a fleeting thought, in the core of my being, there is no such thing as real joy and real love. It's not there. Someone says, oh, I love you, even a young woman you're dating. Okay. But then they find out the kind of person I am, it's gone. And that was still my condition when I came into the Lord's recovery. But the Lord had to do what he needed to do to realize, no, joy is not shallow. Look at Brother Nee. To be able to have joy in the midst of any kind of situation, this shows Christ is saturating you with himself. And we know from Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, the second matter, joy. And then in a meeting we sang a hymn, "Come and rejoice with me, for I have found a friend who loves me. He gave himself up for me," and I realized there is love. There is love. And then I realized he loved me. We're not being selfish. Once we realize that the Lord loves you, then in your heart you will have the same feeling that all the brothers and sisters would have the same realization. You're not putting yourself up above others. You just realize he loves me. So now, the high peak of the divine revelation of God becoming man to make us the same as God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. One aspect of God's nature that I mentioned somewhat clearly earlier today is love. And love is a crucial aspect of the Lord's nature. God is love. And back to 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So the more the love is flowing in us, the more we love. It doesn't say you love God only. We love the Lord. We love one another on the same level, the same degree. There are no different categories. We love every brother or sister, no matter what their disposition is, where they are in their growth in life, what their character is. It doesn't matter. And then, as I mentioned before, we love human beings. We can see beyond what they're saying and doing. Behind them is the evil one. And we don't want someone to be judged and be cast into the lake of fire. I sincerely believe, I don't know how many, for a moment I hope it's okay to refer to the continent, I sincerely believe that there are God-chosen people in every country that he wants to be saved through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom now. Amen. And so you see how Peter is emphasizing this matter of God's nature, of which we are partaking corporately. And he himself, without referring to himself, was clearly, like Peter was, like John was, a pattern. You know the kind of what I was like in the Gospels. You know what is there. And you know what the Lord had brought forth in me. If he could do it in me, he can do it in you. He can do it in anybody. But on our part, we need to learn from the Lord how to participate and how to partake in the divine nature so that we can go through all of the stages, the various things in the verses, the certain characteristics. And then we reach brotherly love, and then it's love itself. And now the door is open. This thought may never have, of course, we haven't emphasized it much. It's not a criticism, it's just a fact. But what needs to take place in us if, when the Lord comes and we're all standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and then he says to us, "Well done, faithful servant, well done. Your church life, your Christian life, your service. You're an ordinary person, but in my sight, it was precious and delightful. Here is someone who did all kinds of work You read in Matthew 7, I did cast out demons, I did these wonderful things. The Lord said, I don't know you. Get away from me. You didn't do the will of my Father. But there will be so many saints in the local churches, ordinary people, for the Lord to say, well done. Well done. Enter into the joy of your master. Don't you want that moment? And then now from this side to realize that if we are in this process of partaking of the divine nature, as we are growing in the divine life, we are moving in that direction. And I sincerely believe it's not too late for any one of us. The Lord can do a lot. If he says, okay, this person is 89, still loving me, still pursuing, but a lot to be dealt with. So I will intensify my spirit sevenfold. And when this happens, my dear brothers and sisters, a lot can happen in 1 month. A lot can happen between now and the end of this year. If every day the Lord has access to us, to shepherd us, to dispense himself into us. And the sevenfold intensified spirit means it's an intensification of what is in the all-inclusive spirit. Seven times amount of grace, seven times of peace, seven times of endurance, seven times of faith, seven times of love. This is real. And the Lord wants us to realize the door is open, but this is an organic matter. And so I believe it would be helpful. I think it's the Lord's part of his burden to now go through this outline of partaking in God's nature with the goal before us, growing in life to maturity and developing fully in divine nature to the point of, you'll know, the Lord will give you the inner sense. You're becoming love. It's love. And don't fear whatever you have to go through. I wouldn't say the Lord has a good sense of humor, but he's just better wise. I would say just, Lord, I look back upon it now, and I give you a retroactive amen and hallelujah. Lord, thank you for that heart surgery. Thank you, I went through all of this. Then sometimes, I learn not to probably say it so often, but to say, Lord, just please don't do this again. And he may have a smile, and he said, no, I won't do this again. I have other things in mind or other things that are ahead. Whatever it is, God the Father knows. Many of us know. It may take years. You look back. Look back, and you realize, Lord, thank you for not allowing me to marry that person. And maybe years and years went by, and you did it now. Wow, that's wonderful. Lord, your way is always better than my way. Amen. Okay, I could go on for hours, but I think I should come to the outline and emphasize the crucial points. But it's based on the burden. And the burden is that we will partake of God's divine nature in so many ways, especially in a corporate way. And so we will encourage one another. We will motivate one another. Even seeing someone maturing that you haven't seen for years, you're not jealous. You're not in competition. You're just encouraged. And the Lord said, yes, I did a lot. I'm going to do the same in you. Just give yourself to me. And he will. The divine nature refers to what God is. That is, the riches, the elements, and the constituents of God's being. So God is love. God is righteousness. God is peace. These are constituents of his nature. And then point B emphasizes, God is holy. Holiness in his nature. And he chose us to make us holy, even as he is holy. It took me a long time for wanting to be interested in being holy. But now it's a kind of a prime matter. To be holy, the New Jerusalem, a corporate person, is altogether holy, has the nature of God. And Peter in 1 Peter emphasized this, that God is making us holy even as he is holy, but not holy in certain religious ways, like, you shouldn't wear a dark blue shirt. That's worldly. Dark blue is worldly. You should have it black and a tie like this. That's worldly. You're heading for outer darkness, you know. You need to have something all black and whatever it is. But the genuine thing, you are holy. You're making us the same as you are in life and nature. Then do what you need to do. You've got a crucial verse in Hebrews 12. Without this, we cannot see the Lord directly. So one characteristic of the bride that has made herself ready is that she's a thoroughly holy person according to God's economy and nature. But I'd like to put in as a little spiritual footnote, the kind of holiness you see in Song of Songs. Does it come to mind how it begins and how it ends? It begins with, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. In chapter 8, verse 1, when I see you outside, that means outside of the body, with the transfigured body, when I see you, Lord, I'm going to kiss you. That's a holy, divine, romantic love. It began with a kiss, and it consummated with a kiss, but it's altogether holy. And so the wedding and the marriage is going to be holy, but with intimate love, the fulfillment of what is presented in Song of Songs. We're living in the divine romance. Please just remind us again, when Brotherly began the first semi-annual training, they were 10 days long, 3 messages a day. Can you imagine? Man in his 70s giving 30 messages in 10 days. The first book was Romans, but he didn't speak at Romans for several minutes. It was about the Bible as a book of divine romance. And so we need to put together the divine romance with the holy nature of God and realize they just are blended together, because it will be a holy wedding and a holy marriage, but permeated with the divine romance. So God is holy, holiness is his nature, and he chose us to make us holy even as he is holy. To be holy is to participate in God's holy nature. Having chosen us to be holy, God makes us holy by imparting himself, the Holy One, into our being, so that our whole being will be saturated and permeated with his holy nature. Religious Christians have all kinds of laws about what is holy, what makes you holy. And it just damages people, and eventually, young people especially, I just can't bear this any longer. They just know this is not real. Whatever it is, I can't take this anymore. I don't want to be a wild and lawless person, but I can't bear these religious demands. And then you find out this is God's goal, his requirement, to be holy as he is holy. We say amen to it. And then we have to also say, I can't be that. The Lord is waiting for that. He said, I know you can't. Let me do it. Let me be it. Let me saturate you. Will you do that? Will you let me saturate you from now, 1 minute or 2 minutes to five, and the time you turn the lights out, put your head on the pillow, and you actually go to sleep? Unless you're one of these persons, your mind is at its peak at 2:30 a.m., then I don't know what you'll do then for 4 hours. But you just say, Lord, just saturate me, permeate me with your holy nature. I'm an active, open vessel. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to pray specifically, but this is touching me. I want to be a partaker of your nature. With the building up of the church as the body of Christ, and personally, I want to be a partaker of your nature so I may have the entrance into the kingdom by developing within me your nature. It's not selfish, it's personal and corporate at the same time. Our whole being, to be saturated and permeated. Just this simple prayer. And I just, this is a question I can only ask brothers. You'll find out why, because this is a brother's experience. For some reason, and quite often, the most helpful personal prayers take place early morning when I'm in the shower. When I make it to the shower, I know that I'm awake now. Okay, I can go on with the rest of the day. This is going to really wake me up. And for some reason, and I don't plan this, I just said, Lord, today, saturate me. Lord, permeate me today. And because the Lord wants to save us from prayers that are not prayers. A little sidebar comment. I know. I don't want to be often prayers that are not prayers. God is not, he doesn't need us to give him information. He already knows everything. We don't need to tell him, I'm this or that, and I'm a problem with this and that. Ron, what's the point? What are you asking for? Okay, saturate me, please. Do as much as you can. And so I learned a simple prayer from a message from Brother Lee decades ago to begin every day like this. Lord, please supply me with today's portion of grace. You know what is ahead. You know what the need is. You know that I can't live apart from the all-sufficient grace of Christ. Just supply me with grace. But we have to just be clear. This is a crucial aspect of Christ, of God's nature, is his holiness, his righteousness. Now, point two, we're coming into the experiential side almost entirely. As those who have received equally precious faith and the divine power, we, the believers in Christ, should be partakers of the divine nature. And the fact is, we all have received equally precious faith, all of us. Yes, the degree of how the faith develops and how it functions. But that's another matter. At the beginning, we all have equally the received precious faith. And if you look again at those verses sometime, if you're interested in that, it begins with faith and it reaches the goal at love. And so the faith is realizing, I can't be this, I can't do this, but I just believe that God is able to do this even with me, even in me. I just believe Him. And we're not pretending to be giants of faith. A genuine faith is sort of like, this is Brother Nee's expression somewhere, it's just like a little flicker of a fire within me, deep within. The faith is there in you. It's in you right now. No matter what's going on in your head, no matter what your feelings are about the situation you're confronting in, deep within, the fire of faith is burning. You know, it'll never go out. And that's sufficient to open the way to be a partaker of the divine nature. To have eternal life is a matter once for all. In other words, you have it, you don't have to get it. Little by little you have it, but you experience it in a developing way. But to partake of the divine nature is a continual matter. This is an important point, a continual matter. That is why I'm not afraid of a penetrating burden be released in a conference or in a training. But my goal is not people to get just excited and we're so thrilled and it's so wonderful. Then less than a week later, it's gone. The burden is that something will touch us, it will reach us, it will permeate us. And then the indwelling spirit will just bring it to our remembrance. Just have a simple prayer. You're at another red light. I won't go into that example again to say another red light because the cars in front of us have hardly any reflexes at all. I was ready to go with the green arrow, but I was car number 9 and the arrow was green. They're not moving. So now I'm going to be stuck here for 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Well, maybe when you're there, after 1 minute, the Lord would say, why don't you pray to develop my nature within you? Maybe that's why the Lord gives you red arrows. I think He's done that for me, to give red arrows. Anyway, because it is a continual matter. And life is this. Aren't you heart that you're continually breathing? I mean, you don't agree that if your lungs would say, can I have a little break, just 5 minutes? No. Your heart beating, you said, listen, I've been beating. Can I have a break minute? No, you cannot. Life doesn't stop like that. But if you say, Lord, I consecrate to do this continually. Well, the words are consecrate, but actually you're making a promise that you will not be able to fulfill by Wednesday afternoon. We all know this, don't we? You just say, Lord, I give myself to you, that you would train me to continually develop the divine nature within me. Just show me what to do and guide me, and He will. Although we have the divine life once for all, we cannot enjoy the divine nature once for all. It's so all-inclusive. You can't have it all at the same time. It has to be in degrees. 2, during the course of our Christian life on the earth, and even in eternity, we will still be partaking of the divine nature. This is really true. I can only just imagine a little bit. Okay, this is now past the 1,000 years of the kingdom. There's a new heaven and the new earth, and we are there. There's no sin, there's no death. We'll be here forever. And I don't know if there'll be any time frame or any concept of time at all, but let's say I see some of you who say, you know, we've been here for 17 billion years. And everything is always new. There's no repetition. This is going to be forever. God is infinite. Infinite. This is going to be going on forever. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. But at least for now, Lord, we come to you as we are and where we are in this matter. And to be honest, Lord, I don't know where I am. And I'm quite freed, and I hope you would also be freed to admit, Lord, to tell you the truth, I don't really know particularly what I need, but you know. And I believe many of you have had experiences. You've been with the Lord, and for some reason, it is just a marvelous time, a very unusual, marvelous time with the Lord. You're hardly exercising too much. And then later that day or later that week, something drastic happened. And the Lord may say, I knew what was coming. And I was preparing you for that. And so it to me, it's so endearing, saints, just to come to the Lord as an open vessel. And Lord, today, as one of the brothers indicated in the sharing earlier, Lord, whatever you want to do today, whatever you want me to experience today, whatever you want to touch, anything you want to deal with, I just present myself to you for today. Do whatever is in your heart. Just let God be God. It's wonderful. Three, for eternity, as portrayed by the tree of life and the river of the water of life in Revelation 22, we will be partaking of the divine nature for eternity. We will all be mature. We will all reach the highest development of partaking of God's nature. But now, we are experiencing it endlessly. I repeat deliberately, God is infinite, infinite. In that verse in Revelation 21:5, can begin to be applied to us. The one on the throne said, I make all things new. And so, it's kind of mysterious, but I believe, I just appeal to those 70 and over. Aren't we rather unusual beings? We're older, but we're newer than we've ever been before. And when I was young, I was older than I was now. And even when I was about 20, one of my friends, when we were doing certain things together, I mean, you know, good things, athletic things, because I was kind of deliberate and slow, they said, come on, old man. Old man Ron, okay? Well, we're being renewed. So why be afraid of getting older humanly? Well, be a little bit concerned if you're not enjoying the Lord, if you're not growing in the Lord. But just don't worry about it. Just let the Lord enable you to partake of his divine nature more and more, effortlessly. Okay, B, as the children of God, we are God-men, born of God. possessing the life and nature of God, and belonging to the species of God. There will be a message on this. It's okay to do a little peekaboo into messages 3 and 4, okay? And so, a species of God, because we're born of God. So apparently we're the same as all the other human beings in the UK, and we are. On the other hand, we're a different species. I hope it's okay to use this kind of semi-humorous possible example. But if, you know, especially in California, we hardly know if anyone believes in male and female anymore. My view is, if you don't believe that, you're an atheist. Because God said, God will create the male and female. If you don't believe that, you're an atheist. If someone says, no, I'm an atheist, then I would say, okay, but you're a functional atheist. Anyway, and so I meet someone who appears to be an ordinary man, and he says, no, don't use that pronoun. Don't say he. You need to say she. Okay, then I would say, then I respect you. I mean, this is your honest feeling. Then I don't have a problem with this. And I'll use the pronouns, or if I can avoid that, I'll just use your name, but I'll use the pronouns. This is what you say you are. And then would you also acknowledge my change of position like this, my gender? Yes, of course. I mean it. I will respect your gender. You've been transgendered into this. And I've also been transgendered. So I want you to recognize I am a God man. Did anyone guess that was coming? I'm a God man. My father is God. I have the life and nature of God. Call me a he, because humanly speaking, I'm a he, but my real gender is not just that. And I'm part of this species with thousands and thousands of people all over the earth. We're a unique species, God-man. And so, at our regeneration, another nature was imparted into us. This is the nature of God, the divine nature. Now to realize this, the divine nature was imparted to us. It's in us now. Because the divine nature is in the divine life with which we were born again has the divine nature within it. And so when you have the divine life, you have the divine nature, and the more you are conscious of the divine life, the more you will be conscious of the divine nature. And the more the divine nature develops in you, the more will the divine life will develop in you. And the more you mature in the divine life, the more you will mature in nature. It's just like when we saw a little boy yesterday, 4 years old. You can just tell, I just looked at him. I was sitting right next to him. His wife had him nearby, and my wife was holding him for a little while. And I just said, the Lord's going to bless you in every way. And now, for now, until the end, we'll be together in the New Jerusalem. And so, as his human life is growing, the human nature will develop. The kind of disposition he has, the kind of capacity he has. So we are growing in life. Then the divine nature is developing. But if we are reacting negatively to divine nature, that will stop for a period of time the growth in life. But we're not going to stop. We may not know what to do, but then the Lord will supply us, and we just say, Lord, just make me the same as you are in life and nature, for the body, for the bride. Do what you need to do. Because, so the divine nature is in the divine life. 3, Whoever believes into the Son of God is born of God and has the right to become a child of God. Thus, a believer has the right to partake of, to enjoy the nature of God. You have this right. This is an important matter to realize. When the message was given, the emphasis was on the right, and many of the saints, they were quite thrilled by this. But eventually you need to just be a little bit more thoughtful with prayer, because you've got a verse like Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. And so we just can't just come up under any condition we're in and say, I have the right to the tree of life right now. Well, you may need to apply the faith in the precious blood of Jesus to your situation. I have to start every day like this. I can't come any other way. In Revelation 7:14 is a parallel to 22:14. You know, blessed are they who wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And then this gives us the right based upon Christ's redemption. And that silences the talk of the enemy. I have the right to be here, you liar, you thief, you killer. I have the right to be here based upon the blood shed for my redemption. And I have faith in his blood. And I'm going to quote a verse to you to shut your lying mouth. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And right now, if you need to do that, you can conquer the enemy. No matter what you did earlier today or last night, you confess to the Lord, apply the blood, the enemy's defeated, and you have the right to the tree of life. See, a partaker of the divine nature is one who enjoys the divine nature and participates in the divine nature. Well, the reason a partaker enjoys is because God is joyful. He's joyful. This is a characteristic of God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That was also from Peter. The joy. That's why Paul could say in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was in Acts 5, I'm not sure of the chapter. Some of the apostles had been arrested for a while, and then they were beaten. I don't know if they were with whips or whatever it was. Then they were released, and they went away rejoicing for the privilege of suffering for his sake. It was joy in the midst of that kind of situation. It's a characteristic of God. I repeat from Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. So I just, in a sense, gently appeal to you. Please, a little bit, stand against your disposition. Whatever it is, just stand against it. Turn your heart to the Lord. Let the Spirit flow to bring love and joy into you. I don't mean once in a while. I mean all the time. It's not the joy based upon this happened or you got this and the joy is gone because that happened and I didn't get this. Your joy is not based upon outward things like this. Is based upon the indwelling function of the consummated triune God applying his nature to us, and it's joyful. That's why when the Lord said, we all know, when he's talking to those who stand before him and said, well done, good and faithful slave, he didn't say, come under my powerful authority and reign with me. He said, enter into the joy of your master. I'm inviting you into 1,000 years of joy. Okay. To partake of the divine nature is to enjoy God for what he is. This will touch us, what he is. He's merciful. The day will come in your own life with the Lord, and you will realize, as many of us have realized, I'm only here because God is merciful. If he was only righteous and strict, I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be here. And we want to come forward, as we're told in Hebrews 4, to the throne of God, the throne of grace, but to find mercy and receive grace in timely need. And I'm so glad we have these hymns on mercy. This is a characteristic. And then we're humbled by it. And then the love and the joy flow in. So to be a partaker of the divine nature is to be a partaker of the riches, the elements, and the constituents of God's being. If we would be partakers of the divine nature, we need to live by the divine life within which is the divine nature. So we emphasize this, I think, sufficiently for now. We can't separate. We are living by the divine life. Within the divine life is the divine nature. So the more you're just following the inner sense of the divine life, the more the divine nature is developing in you. D, we enjoy the riches of the divine nature through God's precious and exceedingly great promises. When God makes a promise, he'll never change. E, being a partaker of the divine nature has a condition that we escape the corruption which is in the world by lust. We need to live in the cycle of escaping and partaking. Of course, we need to pray for ourselves and for all of us. But someone who lives in California, in many ways, the worst place on earth to live, the most degraded and corrupt place. And the enemy is active to destroy an entire new generation of young people in the public schools and these things. And we just need, from time to time, some earnest prayers of spiritual warfare to fight against the God of this age and to save and protect all the children and the young people in all the churches all over the whole earth. But surely the same thing is similar in the UK. From some of the news I got. But in this degraded thing, California is taking the lead. But I believe we can apply the victorious Christ to the situation. Do not dare touch any of our children, whether they're in kindergarten or whether they're going to graduate from high school. Take your evil touches away from them. They're consecrated to the Lord. We are fighting for them. They will be part of the bridal army. We're not going to just be passive and let this go. We won't touch the politics. We'll go beyond the politics because we're seated with him in the heavenlies right now. And here, from this position, we engage in spiritual warfare. And we can see the evil powers in the air and how they're trying to direct certain people in power on the earth. Now we can fight from victory to deal with these evil powers that are aimed to destroy this young generation and fight for the children, not just our own, not just those nearby, but for all the children of the saints in the Lord's recovery, from now until the end of the age. Amen. 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 Christ is victor. Amen. Enemy, you are being defeated again. Amen. If, day by day, we should partake of God's nature and enjoy the constituents of his being. So again, this is a gradual matter. We partake, we enjoy, and we become. Almost done? 1 or 2 minutes? G, certain sufferings and hardships we cannot bear. We have to admit this, brothers. You know, some of you are tough. Some of us are just tough. We never backed down from a fight when we were young. Even if we knew, we might get knocked down, but we're not a coward. We're not a wimp. And so we're tough guys, or, you know, you look down American football, okay, that's just childish stuff. Come on. The real thing is here. Okay, you don't have all that equipment on you. Okay, you're a tough guy, but a tough guy is not going to get you into the kingdom. It's going to realize there are certain sufferings and hardships that you can't bear. However, we are able to bear them by the divine nature. This is our testimony, I say corporately. We can bear any situation by the nature of God. H, we need to experience the development of the divine life and divine nature contained in the divine seed that has been sown into us so that we may have a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. And that refers to the verses that I read. It's the seed of life that was sown into us. And then we want to experience the development of this. And that will open the way into the eternal kingdom. Now, the last point. If we enjoy God and partake of the riches of his being, we will be constituted with the divine nature, becoming the same of God as God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, and expressing him in all that we are and do. We're going to reach that point in all that we do, in all that we say. We will express God in his life and nature. We haven't arrived yet, but we're well on the way, because I know, I can just sense it in you. This is not just doctrine. This is precious to you. It's endearing to you. And you know the Lord is for you. He's interceding for all of us right now. And when necessary, he is fighting for us, because he wants to have a group of people in this part of the earth who are partakers of God's nature. Amen. So, fellow partakers, pray a little bit, and then come to the microphone and speak forth, expressing God's life and nature. Please pray.